Good morning, everyone.
What are some of the things that you can be certain will take place while you are living on this side of heaven? The list is long, and it includes dying. No one escapes that which has come into this world as a consequence of sin. And even though we die, unless Jesus returns first, death does not have to be something that we are afraid of happening to us. What is frightening is not having a connection with God, our Creator, through His Son Jesus, when that time comes. How can we know if we have the necessary connection? That is the focus of our worship today. And we begin with the invocation on page 3 of the worship folder. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. This is the day the Lord has made. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing our first hymn.
Thank you.
Please rise. We continue with the responsive reading found on page 4 of your worship folder. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do? Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to His people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, help us to remember Jesus, who obeyed Your will and bore the cross for our salvation, that through His anguish, pain, and death, we may receive the forgiveness of sins and inherit eternal life. Please be seated. Death stings, yet death does not have to be the last word on the topic, because God has power over death. A reading from Holy Scripture from 2 Kings 4, verses 18 through 37. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. He said to his father, "My head, my head." His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "That's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand, and run. Don't greet anyone you meet, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay on the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out on him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got on the bed and stretched out on him once more. The boy sneezed seven times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite," and he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We sing the Psalm of the Day, found on page 7 of your folder.
Thank you.
The work of the Holy Spirit is spelled out. Are you seeing evidence of His work in you? A reading from Holy Scripture from Romans chapter 8. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The word of the Lord. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out.
Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor?
Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? We just heard what God did through the prophet Elijah. And on that occasion, God raised a dead man to life. Our gospel reading is the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And then we know that Jesus Himself, God the Son, rose on Easter Day. So our worship today centers on the gospel reading for the fifth Sunday of Lent, taken from John 11. Please rise for the gospel reading. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know, he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, thankfully, from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We continue our focus on the scriptures this morning. Turn our attention back to Romans chapter 8, where we hear these words. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who again, thankfully, out of his amazing love for us, was willing to come down to this earth and be our substitute, to give up his life on the cross so that we might have life and have it to the full now and into eternity. How many of us wish that we could have time go backwards, so that we could be one day further from heaven than closer to it? From our human vantage point, we think there will be things that we will miss, and so we might like to put off getting to heaven, but that won't be the case. We will not miss anything once we are in heaven. On the flip side, we hear people say and ask the Lord to come quickly so that we could be with him sooner rather than later as this world seems to drift further away from him and as we endure various kinds of pain and suffering, direct and indirect pain and suffering. Well, is that for nothing? That pain and that suffering? The Lord points out to us that our suffering is not for naught. Why not? Jesus himself has done something about it. And the Holy Spirit, well, he continues to keep us focused on Jesus and what he has done. And so, dear friends, take heart. Your suffering, our suffering, is not for naught. Thankfully, Jesus has done something about this. He has brought us into his family. How important it is to be a part of a family. But we're not just part of any family when it comes to Jesus. We are part of the Creator's family. We are a part of the God who has not only created us, but also saw to it that we were reconciled with him. Not by anything that we could do, but by what he has done for us through his son, Jesus. And so what Jesus has done for us to bring us into his family, it was no small task. I mean, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. A cross he didn't deserve to die on, but he was willing to die on for you and for me and for the entire human population of all time. Because he knew how important his death would be for all people. And for him as well. Because he wants people to be a part of his family. And so he was willing to go to that cross to be our substitute, to die the death that we deserve to die, so that we could become a part of his family. And with the cross that he died on, not only do we have sins forgiven, and also then the hope of heaven, we also have access to God's ear. And what a beautiful thing that is. To know that the Lord God is paying attention to us, that we can go to him, have a conversation with him, ask him what is on our heart and our mind, and he is listening to us, even though he may not grant us what we ask at that time. We know he is listening because Jesus has opened the door to our Father, to his ear. There is one mediator between God and us, the man Christ Jesus. Thankfully, Jesus continues his work back in heaven, giving us ear, God's ear, to hear our complaints, to hear our requests. Those who do not have Jesus in their life, who have rejected him, who do not have faith in him, they don't have that advantage that we as believers do. Peter reminds us by inspiration that God's ears are not attentive to the unrighteous, but only to the righteous. And so what a blessing it is that even in our time of suffering, in the face of suffering, that we can go to God and ask him why and for what purpose. knowing that Jesus has opened that access to us. Being part of the family of Jesus not only comes with access to God's ear, but also comes with that sure hope of heaven. And so we have a hope with a capital H, a hope that people who don't have Jesus don't have. And so when it comes to dealing with suffering, we know there will be a time when it will come to an end because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and sealed through the empty tomb, and what he promises us on the pages of Scripture over and over again, how our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. We have that eternal glory waiting for us because of what Jesus has done for us. And so our suffering, your suffering, is not for naught. Jesus has seen to this by his work done on our behalf to give us God's ear and to open heaven to us where suffering will not follow. We know his work was necessary and it was needed, as we alluded to already, because there is suffering in this world, direct and indirect suffering. Suffering that has come as a result of sin in the world. Again, God did not create this world to be filled with suffering, but he knew it would come to that because he knew Adam and Eve would disregard his loving command to not eat of a certain tree to show their love for him. But with that one act of disobedience has come great suffering in our world. Physical suffering, emotional suffering, spiritual suffering. Some people are experiencing all at the same time. Some of us, while we are secure in our faith in Christ, we are enduring physical or maybe even emotional suffering, struggling with anxiety and worry over this or that, or physical affliction, something with the heart, a body part not working as it once did, a leg, an arm, an eye, our ears. It's all part of living in a world with sin and its consequences. It's part of the suffering that we have to endure in one form or another. And with that suffering of whatever it might be, it is a reminder that this world is not where it's at, that this is not perfect, and that we don't want to remain on this side of heaven forever in suffering. And thanks to Jesus, we don't have to, because he has opened the door to heaven for us, where there is no more suffering. Suffering has not only impacted us as human beings, it has impacted all creation. When we speak of natural disasters and we're experiencing them not that far away with floods and storm and wind and hail and fire, earthquakes, again, all creation gives signs that it too has been impacted by that one act of disobedience recorded for us in Genesis 3 to explain the why things are the way they are in our world. But also in Genesis 3, we have an answer to how to endure and work through and given hope as we and this world endures suffering. The Holy Spirit then is the one who takes what Jesus has earned for us and makes it our very own through the means of grace. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us focused on Jesus and what he has done for us. How the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together for our good. Knowing that we will suffer on this side of heaven and giving us a way to work through and endure that suffering and a hope beyond all hope to keep our eyes fixed on what is yet to come. And so the Holy Spirit, part of his role then is to encourage us in what Jesus has done for us, to continually equip us with the means of grace This means that has brought us into a relationship, into God's family, encourages us to stay close. Like Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain connected to me and you will bear much fruit. For us to bear the fruit that God desires of us, even in the face of suffering, we need to stay connected as we are doing today. And so the Holy Spirit works through the word which we hear here in church, works through the word which we read on our own, the word we hear in Bible study. Every time we're in the word, the Holy Spirit is encouraging us and nurturing us and keeping us focused on Jesus. So that when suffering does come, we do not lose hope, but rather are strengthened in faith and see the hope that we have through Jesus. Sometimes then the Holy Spirit has to call us to repentance, because when we do go through suffering, life was going wrong just smooth, and all of a sudden our health goes out from us, our finances go out from us, we will question God and start yelling at God or yelling at our spouse or our kids or just at anybody who's around in our way. And so we say things that we should not say, and we do things that we should not do. And so the Holy Spirit then calls us to repentance, calls us on the carpet for our rude behavior or unwarranted words and actions, and points us back to the cross where Jesus took care of those sins too, so that we could have forgiveness and be restored and remain in the family of God and all the perks and benefits that come with being a part of the family of God. The Holy Spirit then also, as part of his role, guides us through this life. As Paul talks about by inspiration here in Romans 8, we are to give evidence that we are connected to Jesus. We are no longer apart from him. And so not to give the sinful nature its due, but rather put behind the deeds of our sinful nature, its desires, and rather live with the new nature and put its desires into practice, following the will of God, summed up for us in the Ten Commandments, and even simpler still, love God and your neighbor. God is all about love. And so we are to give evidence of that love in our heart, through our words, through our actions. But that all begins with our thoughts as well. And so as the Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians, whatever is praiseworthy, noteworthy, noble, right, think about those things. As we think about those things, and that guides our thoughts and our hearts then to speak and act in accordance with the will of God, which then gives evidence that we are connected to God through faith in Jesus. Now is the time to produce such works. For when we are dead, it will be too late. Now is the time to give evidence that we are connected, not just to us who are here gathered together, but to our friends and neighbors, to the world. We are to be the salt and light that God has called us to be, to share the hope that we have, even in our suffering, with the hope that they will ask us, what gives, what makes you tick? What gives you optimism, even in the face of suffering? And then we get to tell them, Jesus. And we get to expand on what we mean with that answer, Jesus. The Holy Spirit also then reminds us and even does this for us, praying to God, our Father, reminds us to pray at all times and situations, not just the evil, but also the good. And so when we are feeling anxious, the Lord reminds us, do not be anxious, but rather with thanksgiving present your request to God. Be thankful that we have God to go to and throw our anxiety and worry on him and say, Lord, help us deal with this. What is going on in my life? You know what it is. Again, prayer is just having a conversation with God. One that we're able to have thanks to what Jesus has done for us and the Holy Spirit working in us and encouraging us to pray. Prayer is a fruit of faith. It's not a waste of time. Even if we don't feel like we're getting the answer that we want, God still wants us to pray, to look to him, to trust in him, and to be patient. So let us, dear friends, not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present whatever requests we have for ourselves and for those around us, for the world, for we are to pray for everyone. Yeah, the suffering we endure, whatever kind it is not for naught. Again, the Holy Spirit reminds us in 2 Corinthians 4, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. And that, dear friends, is what is waiting for us. And suffering cannot take that away from us. For our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the eternal glory that awaits us. Thanks to Jesus and the work of the Spirit in us. Now that is a God of love. A God who loves you. Amen. The peace of God which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Please rise. We now join in the confession of faith using the words of the second article found on page 9 in your worship folder. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
Redeem me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won us from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death.
All this He did, that I should be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly true.
Please be seated.
We continue with the prayer of the church on page 10. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him, we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church so that it may flourish in all good works.
Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you. Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning. to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
And we also pray. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
we sing our closing hymn. It was good to worship with you this morning. There are several announcements for your attention that I'll give, and then that'll be followed by the Wells Connection for March. Announcements. First of all, for parents and their young children, you are invited to the Multipurpose Center right after this for a family connection event. We will also be having Bible study at 9:30, continuing our discussion of the Augsburg Confession. There are some handouts for today's lesson on the bookshelf in the lobby. I believe we also have a teen Bible class today at 9:30. Okay. And then, let's see, a couple of other announcements for next week. The LWMS Mission Box collection continues this Sunday, and the spring collection is due the next Saturday, the 1st of April. And then St. Mark's is hosting the LWMS rally on April 15th. That'll be here at St. Mark's. So if you're interested in attending that, please register. The sign-up sheet is by the information board in the lobby. And then we'll wrap things up this morning with the Wells Connection video.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. I'm here in southwestern Florida, where last fall Hurricane Ian hit, causing 169 fatalities and billions of dollars of damage. Wells Christian Aid and Relief, along with Builders for Christ, is here, helping congregations and members and communities to rebuild.
Cindy and Jim Smith are members at Bethany Lutheran Church in North Fort Myers, Florida. They've experienced several storms during their 20 years of living here in Florida, but nothing like Hurricane Ian.
At that moment, it's, let's load up, we gotta get out of here.
You're worried about your life, you don't even care about this.
As water was slowly overtaking their home, they knew they needed to get out. So they jumped in their truck and rode out the storm at higher ground. They were safe, but when they returned, they found that 4 feet of water had invaded their home.
When I opened the door, the water inside was still waist deep. And everything, you know, inside your house is floating. Your furniture is floating. Your shoes are floating. The garbage that was in the trash can in the kitchen is now floating. So it's not even like it's your house. It's like some weird place that you've never been before.
Nearly all of their possessions were tossed to the curb and their home gutted. They've been living in their camper ever since. And this tragic reality isn't just experienced by Cindy and Jim. All across southwest Florida, Ian was responsible for varying levels of water and wind damage to infrastructure, homes, and other buildings, including a handful of Wells churches, where volunteers have been hard at work for weeks.
We've been here working on all kinds of relief efforts. In the past couple of weeks, really been working on demoing drywall that got wet, carpet that got wet, ceilings that got wet, insulation that got wet in our congregations, and preparing for roofing projects, and also looking at the homes of members that have been damaged and trying to find out what help they need as well.
Local and visiting volunteers, supported and coordinated by district leaders, Wells Christian Aid and Relief, and Builders for Christ, have been working hard to repair damage and relieve suffering.
We need to proclaim the truth and proclaim God's love, but we also want to live that love. And so compassion ministry is a natural outflow of the truth that we hold so dear in God's words.
I enjoy being a servant of Him. And this is how I can do it. I'm not able to preach or become a teacher, but I sure can reach out in the communities and spread the gospel that way.
Hurricane Ian no doubt caused catastrophic physical damage and emotional hurt for many people. But in these darkest of moments, Christ's light shines the brightest. Even in the darkest of tragedies, we have hope and assurance in our Savior's love and promises.
When we're helping people in a disaster, is not just get the physical stuff done, but remember the people. If somebody from the home you're working on engages you in conversation, put down your chainsaw, put down whatever, and talk to them, and listen to them. And from those conversations and those listening opportunities come all kinds of opportunities, obviously, to talk about Jesus.
These are ways that God squeezes us to draw faith out of us, to help us see what really matters. God allows challenges to come in order for us to see, hey, this world is going to go away, and then what? And we have a unique answer to that, the one true answer to that Scripture gives. It's Jesus.
Sometimes when things like this happen, you doubt God or you get mad at God, but
He's there.
He's there. Faith allows me to say, this is a bunch of stuff. It's not important. The things that are important are still there. My wife is still here. Everything we need, we're still given. So I believe my faith lets me, that's how I deal with it. I can lean on my faith.
God's there and He's looking out for us no matter what we go through.
I'd like to take this opportunity to relay the thanks of your brothers and sisters here in southwestern Florida, and to extend my own thanks as well for the generous way that you've supported this work with your gifts of faith and love. It's with gifts like that we're able to do this important work and to show Christian love to our brothers and sisters in need.